Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
It is only right that we paint minifigures to honor the God Emperor. Warhammer.
Raise an army. Conquer planets. I don't know.
Yeah, basically.
Okay.
Close enough. Murder everything. Doesn't murder agree everything. With you? Murder it. Doesn't believe in the God Emperor? Murder that. Looks at you the wrong way? Murder it.
There you go.
Warhammer. Nuke the entire planet. Doesn't matter.
Warhammer 40K.
Warhammer's insane. People are like, oh, I think, what was the meme I saw the other day? People being like, oh my God, Star Wars universe, like living under the Empire has to be so bad. And it's like, oh, if only you understood Warhammer. Much worse.
Yep. Almost as bad as the Gamers 2 podcast.
I don't know if that's a good segue.
Your weekly roundup of news and commentary related to the video game industry and anything else that might pique our interest.
Like League of Legends.
Yeah, League of Legends, Warhammer minifigures. What else have we been talking about?
Star Wars Unlimited.
Yeah, Star Wars Unlimited.
I got Matt to play a card game.
I did play a card game.
And he won.
I did not die.
He won.
As in, like, I didn't keel over from, you know, just being horrified.
Just from playing a card game?
Just by touching cards.
The funny thing is, like, bringing that up of, like, playing card games, is I still have multiple card games downstairs that are specifically for you and I.
Yeah, and they're probably, a lot of them are unopened.
At least one of them is. Flesh and Blood is up here, which is another deck building one, but I'm not going to do two deck building ones because that'll confuse both of us. So we'll just do one deck building one in Star Wars Unlimited. But downstairs is the... Oh, I'm going to forget the guy's name. The World War II simulator one.
Yep, I remember you talking about that
one. And then there's a Caesar one from the same guy.
Okay.
And it's taking over and manipulating eras of that time and conquering nations and...
Yes. Yes. Yeah. I could see how that would be interesting to do.
Yeah. It'd be fun for us.
Mm-hmm.
So
I'll be honest with you, that took the game. I don't know if the game didn't take longer than I expected, I should say. The time went by a lot faster than I thought it was going to.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, and then when we finished, I looked at my phone, and I was like, oh, my God.
What? Yeah, that's why I was like, okay, we got to go record, because I didn't realize it was 6 o'clock.
Yeah, like, what the fuck happened?
6:30 or whatever, because, yeah, it took us a while to initially get into it.
Yeah,
figuring everything out and, like, reading and learning. And
it took me, I spent a lot of time looking at my cards and thinking, so there was a lot of, like, probably dead time.
Yeah, but it is one of those where it's like, if we sat down and played again.
Mm-hmm.
We'd go so much faster.
Yeah.
You could probably finish a game in 30 minutes.
Yeah.
But yeah. No, yeah. Good stuff.
It is good stuff.
Hey, you want to speak of more good stuff?
Yeah.
No releases this week.
Wow. That's weird.
I don't know if that's good stuff, but I'm sure there's...
Actually, you know what? That probably is, because I know that some people are trying to get through certain games before other games come out. Like
this guy right here.
Yeah, you probably want to...
Dragon Age. Or Dragon Age. Wow.
Yeah.
Like a dragon.
And then I have a friend who's trying to get through Final Fantasy before I think Dragon's Dogma.
Dragon's Dogma 2, yep.
2 comes out. Up. So
it looks pretty.
I've heard.
I don't think I'm going to play it, but we'll see.
I've heard in his review of Final Fantasy 7, whatever version, whichever one they're calling this one.
Not Rebirth.
Something.
Midgar? I don't remember. Are they headed to Midgar? I don't.
Was not favorable.
Interesting.
Too many mini games.
Interesting.
Like it's a mini game for everything, apparently.
Man, don't play Yakuza.
Well, yeah, but these ones are like...
I'm out here golfing because I'm like trying to build relationships.
But these ones apparently are like...
mandatory?
They are mandatory, gotcha. But they're also like not, you know, as... There's not as much variety as in like... Oh,
okay.
It's like essentially like the same mini games over and
I
over again.
I still haven't replayed that dating sim that you saw me play the first day of Yakuza.
Yeah, I could see how that would be one that you just kind of like...
I don't even remember how to get... I think I have to open my phone or something, and I just don't ever do that.
Yeah, it's probably like, you know, their version of Tinder.
I haven't played the Pokemon League that's in Yakuza either,
mm-hmm.
since you first have to do that.
How about where you karaoke?
You get a bunch of humans and you...
Yeah, it's like...
Play Pokemon. Mm-hmm. Tsujimon, specifically.
Tsujimon.
the karaoke, nope, haven't sang karaoke. Karaoke is fun to like watch and laugh about, but I don't.
It's like essentially a long QuickTime event.
It's a long QuickTime event, but like it fucks with my head listening to the music and the button presses because they're not to me like in sync or whatever, and it just messes me up. Played a lot of golf though.
Oh, that tracks.
There's a driving range, and there's a batting cage. Done both
I could
of those.
Go for a golf game.
Played. Played darts.
Yeah. I should probably make an attempt to like try to learn how to play golf.
We can do that. I'm down.
We could do it
on the Sims.
On the Sim, yeah.
We just have a Sim day.
Yeah, have a Sim day. Get a room.
Hey, hey.
And
don't mind me, wife. I'm clubs. Taking your husband. We get a room and swing our clubs together.
Drive balls, if you know what I mean. Oh, God.
Play the back nine, if you know what I mean. Just do an entire if you know
this
what
like
I mean.
It's like a bad SNL skit or something. It's
a fucking Who's Line skit. Yeah. If you just doing the if you know what I mean game. Just keep coming up with things. But no, there's... Yeah, I could definitely see that would be fun. The card stuff is fun. You know, it's just been... There's burning through the no release thing is good.
Yeah.
Because I do need to finish Yakuza. I don't know how far I am. I feel like I've crossed the halfway point, but you know what that means.
Yeah.
Might not even be close.
Yeah. It's hard to tell sometimes with those games.
Hey, but good news. Actual good news.
Yeah.
No layoffs this week.
Surprise, surprise.
This week. Give it like 3 days and that might change.
Yeah.
But instead, we're going to get some acquisitions. Virtuous has acquired the Los Angeles-based VFX studio Beyond FX for an undisclosed sum. Founded in 2015, Beyond FX is a co-development studio that provides VFX for AAA games, having worked on titles such as Mortal Kombat 1, Valorant, and God of War.
Decent resume.
Yeah. Reef Creative Group has purchased a 70% stake in UK game studio Bitmap Bureau. Bitmap Bureau was established in 2016 based on Southampton and has released titles such as 88 Heroes, Ninja Showdown, and Battle Axe. Behavior Interactive has acquired multimedia production firm Fly Studio. The studio, established in 1996 in Montreal, has created mixed media projects for firms such as Ubisoft and Toyota. What?
Random. Toyota has an anime.
I don't need to hear that.
Okay.
I don't know what that even... What does that mean?
They did an anime that's basically marketing for their GR, you know, cars. Their Gazoo racing cars.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That you can't really take racing because they have oiling issues when you take slight right-hand corners and the engine's grenade.
Oh, great.
That's the GR86, in case you're curious. You know, the most... affordable of their sports cars that they market that you can track because they give you a year they give you a voucher to go to a high performance track day event.
Oh, interesting.
You know, and then they won't warranty your engine when you blow it up. Anyways.
Of course they won't. Grom Social Enterprises has announced the acquisition of Studio Arctic 7 The studio will continue to follow its current strategy, both acting as a co-development firm and developing its own IP, with the two companies saying they'll reveal more about future opportunities in the coming weeks and months. Grom Social Enterprises is an entertainment and tech company, so that also runs its own social network targeting children, Grom Social. I don't like that sentence.
So they're, I was going to say, so they're evil.
I mean, Grom already sounds evil, and then they target children?
Yep.
And the last one, Tencent has reportedly taken over two ByteDance games teams and has consolidated them into a new company. The two studios are a Shenzhen-based firm working on an action game and another in East China working on an anime title. These teams have reportedly been merged into a studio called Celsui, I think.
Sounds good to me.
Which is wholly owned by a Tencent investor. So, acquisitions mixed with mergers.
Yes.
It's weird.
Acquisitions and mergers. There was more, too. I chopped some off.
I mean, the one about like the Toyota studio being like, we formed in 1996. I'm like, in what fucking year? Like, 20, almost 30 years ago.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, especially considering it's
impressive you're still running.
Yeah. These companies, man. I don't know what they do.
That Toyota contract must have been big.
Yeah. Well, it's Ubisoft, too. You know, they're probably, they make, apparently multimedia is their jam. You know, you need to just stop. All right, number two. Embracer has sold Saber Interactive for $247 million. As announced by the firm in a statement, it has agreed to divest selected assets from Saber to Beacon Interactive, a new company founded by Saber's co-founder, Matthew Karch. Saber will retain a number of studios as part of the sale, including Nimble Giant, 3D Realms, Sandbox Strategies, New World Interactive, Slipgate, Madhead Games, Fractured Byte, and Digic. As for Embracer, the firm will keep the following studios: Zen Studios, 4A Games, Tripwire, Beamdog, Tuxedo Labs, Demerge, Shiver, Aspire, Snapshot, and 34 Big Things. It will also retain IPs and future publishing rights for a variety of titles, including various unannounced AA and AAA projects, in addition to Killing Floor 3 and Teardown. As a result of the sale, Embracer's debt will decrease by $205 million and will see the company cease all operations in Russia. Embracer originally acquired Saber Interactive for $525 million in 2020. So, yeah.
I think the new Saber team walked out with the better list of studios.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, Splitgate 2 is going to be pretty big, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But Killing Floor 3 and Teardown are also pretty large, so.
Yeah. I think, if I had to guess, I'm assuming Embracer took the things that seemed more safe, like more established, right. Even though they might be like, maybe not super popular IP right now, but they have more name recognition.
They probably couldn't get rid of Aspire after Aspire's whole.
Aspire's just terrible.
They just released, what was it? Star Wars Battlefront.
The Battlefront collection,
and is overwhelmingly negative or whatever on Steam.
Did you see the server? It's not in here, I don't think, but did you see the server thing with that?
No, I just heard that there was a multitude of issues.
Okay, the one glaring one is they only had three servers set up for the 64 player matches.
What?
And to give you an idea, the player count when it launched was 20,000. So it's an absolute shit show. I read some of the stuff and I was just like, this is
bad.
Yeah, this is awful. So interesting stuff.
That's how I look at work.
I was like, I relate to that.
All right, number three. Epic Games has announced new pricing for its Unreal Engine for developers outside the gaming industry, as detailed in a blog post. When Unreal 5.4 Engine launched in late April. Wow, okay, hold on.
Did I not edit this?
No, I fucked up.
Okay.
When an Unreal 5.4 engine is launched in April, Epic will introduce a new seat-based subscription for industries outside game development. The annual cost of this subscription is $1,850 per user, providing access to Epic's Unreal Engine, its real-time visualization tool Twinmotion, and photogrammetry software Reality Capture. These products will still be available to purchase individually, but the annual prices for both subscriptions have changed. Twinmotion will be priced at $445 per year, while Reality Capture's seat-based subscription service will be $1,250 per user annually. Epic confirmed it will not be changing its licensing model for game devs, who will continue to pay a 5% royalty fee once a game reaches over $1 million in revenue. Unreal Engine, Twinmotion, and Reality Capture will continue to be free to use for students, educators, and hobbyists, in addition to developers who earn less than $1 million in revenue. So mainly, hey, companies doing things randomly in Unreal, you gotta pay more.
Yeah. The thing that I love that Unreal does, that a piece of software that I use stopped doing about a year or two ago, and it's been wreaking havoc, or actually it's probably longer than that, is the free for students and educators.
Yeah.
Because that's then everyone in school will be familiar with Unreal, which means that every fucking company that wants to use it, or like any company that needs anything that's that like the people working for them will immediately be like, we'll just get Unreal because I'm familiar with it.
Right.
Which is the problem the software I use had, where they stopped giving it to students and universities for
so
free.
Yeah, nobody continued to learn it, so anybody that you had to hire, it's like, what the fuck are you doing?
Exactly.
I've never seen this before in my life.
Mm-hmm. We didn't use that in school. I don't know what that is. Yeah,
I do everything this way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's very much doing it that way of making sure that people are always still like learning it, whatever. Like, yeah, that makes the most sense. Why wouldn't you want that?
Yeah. And that's why everyone's starting to use Python.
And still free for, like they're saying, individuals and whatever, under a million.
Mm-hmm.
You're fine. You keep doing whatever you're doing. That's fine.
Yeah. We'll see.
Oh, I mean, yeah, everybody did switch to Python.
We'll see.
Python's just so easily adaptable.
It is, and for like testing, like what I do with testing and using equipment, like it's just like you can, spin up stuff really quick with it.
Yep.
All right, number four. Another swath of Activision QA workers have unionized as the Communication Workers of America announced that Microsoft has voluntarily recognized a union for workers at Activision Central Quality Assurance. Approximately 600 employees in California, Texas, and Minnesota will be represented by the union, which the CWA says makes it the largest group of union-represented workers at any U.S. gaming company. CWA now represents more than 1,000 Microsoft employees between the union and previously organized workers at ZeniMax QA, Blizzard Albany, and Raven Software.
They're making progress.
They are making progress. I'm curious. I have a hard time believing that Microsoft will continue this trend
with no answer.
Yeah, with no answer. Because I feel like at some point they're just going to keep saying yes to all these unions, and then they're going to be like, we need to downsize. And then they'll they'll do their whatever union process they have to get layoffs to happen, to downsize, and then that'll be their way of combating like having to deal with a ton of unionized workers.
Yeah. Something. I don't know what they're gonna do, but I can see them doing something along those lines, or
mm-hmm.
some way to get out of it type of thing.
Yeah. Because, as much as, Microsoft looks like the good guy right now, I guarantee you they do not want to pay their workers more than they absolutely have to. So.
Yeah. Because what company wants happy workers?
I know, right? Capcom does.
That's true. That's true.
Which is weird. What are they up to?
What are they doing? Number five, Starbreeze, the developer of Payday, is undergoing a change of leadership with CEO Tobias Sjorgren. Sjorgren?
I don't know. You got the names this week. I fucking love it.
Oh, God, this gets worse. Stepping down and board member Jürgen Goldener named as his interim replacement. Starbreeze announced that Goldener has taken leadership of the company with immediate effect, and the search for a new permanent CEO has begun. Goldener joined Starbreeze as a board member last year and has been working in the games industry for over 40 years. His most recent executive position was at Focus Home Interactive, now Focus Entertainment, where he served as CEO from 2018 to 2020. He has previously held executive roles at Square Enix, Eidos, and THQ Germany. The only indication to why Sjorgren was... Sjorgren is stepping down is a comment from Chairman of the Board, Torgny Hellstrom, who cites a change in company strategy. Torgny's a rough first name.
There's a lot of...
What is it, Scandinavian?
There's a lot of Scandinavian shit going on here.
I haven't fucking played Valhalla recently. Come on, you can't do that to me.
So this previous dude, this...
What a turnaround. We're going to game five.
Oh, nice. This previous dude, the dude who stepped down, the Sjorgren or whatever, he literally, this same thing happened to him, and that's how he became CEO, was he...
Oh, jeez.
They made him interim, and then they were like, we're going to look for a permanent CEO. And then a year later, they're just like, you know what? You're just the permanent CEO now.
Yeah, from my understanding, Payday 3 flopped from what they were expecting, so...
Yeah. I agree.
Which is wild.
It is.
You would think, how could it flop? Like, 2 did so well.
I think they just delayed it too many times, right? Because it was kind of a shit show being developed, I feel like.
I feel like it probably was definitely a shit show, but I just can't believe, like, even the delays, and then you put it on Game Pass, and you did all these things, like, shouldn't have flopped as bad as it did.
Yeah.
I also do wonder, though, if it's a... I don't know, not a relic of the past is the wrong way to put it, but like if there's just something to about it, like
it aged out.
It's like trying to bring back Left 4 Dead.
Yeah.
I think that's like, if you don't have a 4-player co-op thing that's not in and out really quick, and it's like, you know, it's a little bit of this drag on, like you're going to have very few. The pool you're pulling from is not as large as it once was.
Yeah. I think that sentiment feels accurate. Like, it kind of had its moment, and it didn't reinvent itself enough to reignite that moment.
Right, and like, there's a reason that Helldivers is so good.
Yeah.
Which is the closest thing I can think of to like a successful PvE co-op thing. And it just did so well, but to have like, there's not... Helldivers falls into closer to like the Left 4 Dead, like we're just gonna go buck wild and blow everything up and have fun doing it and whatever. Yeah. There's not like when you do the Payday style where it's like the idea is to probably be a little bit more stealthy and like whatever, then it's like that. I don't know how much that translates anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And something like Payday, you're like, okay, that can do that. We can do that one way, but Ready or Not is also... And, you know, you're pulling from the same crowd, I would assume.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. Just interesting. See where they go from here.
It is. It is interesting. All right, number six. Former Naughty Dog, id Software, and Activision developers have established Empty Vessel. Based in Texas, Empty Vessel will be overseen by CEO and game director Emmanuel Palalik. Palalik.
This is what you get for saying anything about my fucking names.
That's the worst one, so I think I'm good still. alongside him, COO and general manager Garrett Young will lead the studio. Both previously worked at id Software and have game credits including Doom and Quake Champions. Empty Vessel's development team brings experience that includes working on series such as Call of Duty, The Last of Us, and Uncharted. It is currently developing an unannounced shooter inspired by dystopian sci-fi media. I feel like there's a lot of shooters and action games that are in development that are like...
I feel like that's also true. And then I feel like you could look back and go, huh, I wonder where any of the founding members are from. And you could throw a dart and you'd land on these three.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just blindfold yourself, huck a dart at a wall, and you're going to find one of four different studios, the three mentioned in BioWare.
Yep.
With former ties to yada yada. Oh, what are they making? A shooter? Nailed it. Like,
shooter? Action adventure game? Ah, of course.
Who would have thought? Number seven. Experienced veterans from EA Respawn Studio have formed a new AAA team called Giant Skull. The developer is led by Stig Asmussen. What a name. Who is best known as the game director for 2019 Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order and 2023 Star Wars Jedi Survivor. Giant Skull has an office in LA, although employs people from around the world. The leadership team also includes Star Wars Jedi Survivor alumni John Carr, the CTO, and Jeff Majors, the design director, Fortnite veterans Patrick Murphy, art director, Lauren McElmore, the lead producer, and Brian Campbell, animation director. Meanwhile, Unbroken Studios' Anthony Scott takes the roles of COO and CFO. The press release announcing Giant Skull describes the project it's building as a gameplay-driven, story-immersed action-adventure game. And fans of Asmussen's previous work, which also include the first three God of War games, will have an idea of what to expect.
So that's what he said.
Here's a whole lot of word vomit for you.
Yeah.
We made something new.
Yep, we're making something.
And I've hired these people.
I poached all these guys.
That's the entire post. They work for me now. We're making something.
Don't fucking ask us what, you motherfuckers.
I swear to God.
So another action adventure game. And he was the one that said, like, if you've seen the things that I've previously made, you'll know what to expect. So, which is fine, because God of War is good.
Yep.
And the Jedi.
I mean, they're good. I'm just a little bit lax on how good.
Yeah. I'm going to be glass half full and say that maybe he'll make something better because he won't have the constraints of the Star Wars IP.
Okay.
And Disney.
I'll also be glass half full and say that maybe... just maybe one of these brand new studios over the last 5 years will turn out something good before they close.
The rest will die. And then be swallowed up by other corporations or something.
Slurp them up.
All right, that's weird. Getting weird. Like milking a cow. Sorry. Anyways.
Just taking things out, not putting them in.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's corporation. Just, you know, milking the...
Oh yeah.
The old, milking that sweet... independent studio cow and then putting in their giant bucket of frothy milk.
Why is it frothy?
I don't know.
It's more like that old isn't it the old political cartoon where the farmer's walking back out to the cow and says something like milking time old Betsy or whatever. And the cow's bones
yep.
But labeled something
mm-hmm.
And it's just absolute bones and it's like you just can't keep the cow's empty, man.
Yeah. All right, number eight, Minecraft dropped its latest update
this week. You guys remember Minecraft? Think about that one.
I know. It's been a while. Whew. I always think about, like, if I tried to play current Minecraft, I'd probably get in it and not recognize anything.
Even vanilla, we'd probably just be like.
Yeah, I'd be like, what is this? Like,
remember when we used to have those servers on PS4?
I've been putting a lot of thought into having a Minecraft server again. But one that's just a genuine server so that people can come and go as they please. Because, you know, Aiden's, you know, he's going to get to that age at some point in the near future where he's like, Minecraft, what is this? You know, because that's how kids are.
I mean, the choice is going to be Fortnite first, but yeah.
The choice is going to be, well, Fortnite's a step later. The choice is either Minecraft or Roblox. So I'm going to guide him towards Minecraft.
Yeah, it's true. 100%. Yeah.
And then he'll be like, what's that Roblox thing? And I'll be like, don't even fucking look at it.
Bunch of losers over there, kid. Yeah. You don't want to become them.
Exactly. And then I'll fight the Fortnite battle when we get there.
He'll be doing TikTok dances and
And then, like, Samantha will play Minecraft. She's done it in the past.
True.
And then I can try to start to reclaim any semblance of my former self and be able to play some video game again. That's my master plan.
Reinvigorate my youth.
Yeah, it's my gaming rehabilitation.
Oh.
Anyways, those playing on PC may want to avoid downloading it. Mojang is warning that those who update Minecraft via the Xbox app on PC may have their worlds wiped. Mojang recommends running the gaming services repair tool on PC on the Xbox app before downloading the latest update. The latest update makes the usual array of tweaks and brings the newer Bedrock version of Minecraft into parity with the original Java version. Mojang also introduced Minecraft Marketplace Pass. This is basically a version of Game Pass for Minecraft content. For $4 a month, you get access to a rotating selection of all 150 pieces of content.
I don't know what that means.
That's what I'm talking about, bro. That is exactly what I'm talking about. So Minecraft
like,
has...
Do I not get to have horses like in one,
one God, month? I hope not. My hope is that you know how they have like the servers that are like themed?
Yeah.
It's something like that where you get access to like themed servers or themes or like skins and all that stuff. That's what I'm hoping.
That would make sense.
Because
but
at
just
that point,
like not having wheat 1 year would like
would suck.
Me.
Like you gotta pay $5 to get fucking this crafting material you need.
Yeah, there are no chickens in your world unless you give me $4.
Don't give them that idea. We spoke it, fuck.
No. Like each month is just a new food source. You're stuck with whatever it is.
Yeah. If you don't give me $15 a month, you can't have redstone.
You're only allowed apples that you find out of trees.
Jesus. What a miserable world we have to look forward to.
Oh, we gotta stop speaking them into existence.
Truth.
Number 9, then. A new game based on the Dungeons & Dragons license blending different genres was announced by Gameloft. The yet-to-be-named game, which is being developed by Gameloft Montreal, the studio behind Disney Dreamlight Valley and LEGO Star Wars Castaway, what? Among others,
what that is.
Will be set in the Forgotten Realms and will bring unique cooperative gameplay featuring an innovative hybrid of survival, life simulation, and action RPG. The Dungeons & Dragons game by Gameloft is currently in development for PC and consoles, and no further detail was given.
There you go, another pointless game announcement.
Especially when they're like, all right, we're making a new one in the D&D universe, and I'm just like, Baldur's Gate 3 exists. Sorry.
Yeah.
But this one's in the D&D universe. Yeah, nobody cares.
No one cares because that one's better. They did a better job.
We just want to play D&D. We don't care about the universe of D&D.
Yeah.
You give us the rules, and that's how we create Fantasy High.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
That's what they should do. They should make some like short little games. Partner with a game, like partner with like a good Telltale.
Yeah, but I don't know so much about you choosing your story as much as like
them making characters. Yeah.
At most, you'd be down to like being a student in the school with knowledge of them,
mm-hmm.
and like interacting in some way.
Yeah. Yeah.
While still trying to, you'd basically be,
it'd have to be like
you'd
your
basically
own.
Do a high school simulator where you, mm-hmm. you're bully. It's basically Bully, except that you are D&D world and having to do like D&D classes, and you have all this knowledge of events of theirs and yada yada yada.
Yeah,
like they go off and save the world, and you're still like in bard class, trying to learn how to play a fucking lute.
I am not a fan of the 100 Thieves jerseys. Because every time they do zoomed in shots, I feel like they look like they're like dirty.
Okay.
Just that's, you know, some commentary that was, you know, that no one wanted.
This podcast.
You're not wrong.
I can see what you mean a little bit, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, rumor roundup, I guess, is up next.
The We've got rumors. Roundup.
Silent Hill 2's release may be near. SteamDB has registered multiple back-end updates, and a Mexican retailer is saying it's coming out May 30th.
Viva la Mexico.
This next one's a rumor, but it's not really a rumor. It's like kind of obvious. Most Switch 2 games are expected to use NVIDIA DLSS. And NVIDIA apparently did offer Nintendo multiple options for the system's SoC. I hope they would. Including one powered by the Ada Lovelace architecture. That's the architecture that is currently in the RTX 4000 series. Nintendo, however, went with a cost-optimized version of Orin, powered by the Ampere architecture. Which, that all makes sense.
Yeah.
The Last of Us Part 2 remastered PC version might be announced soon. I hope it fucking doesn't sell, but it's going to. It's going to sell bonkers, and I'm going to be pissed about it.
It's going to be whatever if it sells. I just don't want to see the commentary around how people are like, oh my God, it's the best. I'm like, I just shut up.
Maybe we'll get the double whammy of like the satisfaction of PC players being smarter than console players, which I don't really care, but it's just fun. And they'll all be like, you know what? I don't understand why you guys think this game is good. It's fucking terrible. The story is written poorly.
I mean, that
and I would be
that,
like,
that would be wild.
Yeah, that would be.
I think I'm probably the only one of the. I'm one of the few people that actually I think has the. I mean, this is. I'm so arrogant for even starting the sentence.
Yeah.
But the few people that I've talked to that actually has like the critical view of like, I wish they told it differently.
Yeah.
Not that any of it needed to be cut or is wrong or whatever. I just think that their story beats are wrong and should have been flipped.
It should have 100% been fucking flipped.
And I wanted a different ending.
Yep. I agree.
I wanted a fucking heavy ending that they would not pull off.
Yeah.
I wanted a single gunshot and the screen to fade to black.
Yeah. They should have ended it by a camera, you know, in the house, Ellie in the house.
I mean, the same way they did.
Because they go out, they pan out into the forest.
Yeah.
Maybe zoom in on a rabbit or something for a little bit of
a little flashback.
Throwback. And then all you just hear is the
You hear a gunshot, but the rabbit just then walks away. And just runs away. What just died? And you're like, oh, well.
Oh.
Yeah.
And they should have had you play as Abby the whole time. And then it culminating. Flip. Yes, it flipped.
You flip when the kill happens.
Nailed it. This guy knows. He knows what's up.
Yeah. I wrote the game.
Yeah.
Correctly.
We've had the same conversation probably 18 times.
Minimum.
Because it's that frustrating.
The moment we finished playing it, this should have been the other way around.
Yep.
Santa Monica also shouldn't have been as long as it was.
Agreed. That was a fucking... What the fuck?
The fucking Red Dead thing.
Tahiti,
thank you.
Tahiti. I think Tahiti was shorter.
It was. Tahiti was actually not. It
Tahiti was shorter and more of a red herring.
Yep.
Meant to make you think that's where you got TB.
Mm-hmm. All right, moving on. The Fallout TV makers were told by Todd Howard to avoid doing some stuff that will be in Fallout 5.
Whatever the fuck we release it.
Yeah.
Can you just not tell everybody the stuff in Fallout 5 10 years before I plan on making the game?
Yeah, that's some fucking George R. R. Martin shit right there.
Yeah.
Then Todd Howard's not going to make Fallout 5.
You know he was there in a leather jacket the whole time.
Oh, yeah. Brown. 100%.
Slacks.
Command and Conquer giant might be getting... oil just seeping out of his pores. Command and Conquer might be getting another remastered collection.
Why?
I don't know. People like that stuff, I guess.
PlayStation? What are we, Last of Us?
Yeah. Keep milking the cow. There's the political cartoons. Fucking Naughty Dog walking in and the cow's labeled Last of Us. Tom Henderson is saying the leaks of the PS5 Pro are real. And here are the leaks. Rendering is 45% faster than PS5. It's 2 to 3 times better at ray tracing. 4 times in some cases. Where the fuck that means?
Yeah, what's that mean? If I'm reading a fucking book, it's 4 times faster.
33.5 teraflops.
Yeah, all the numbers people care about.
It'll have PSSR, which is PlayStation Spectral Super Resolution Upscaling. Support for resolutions up to 8K is planned for future SDK versions because, you know, we're all rocking 8K TVs. And custom machine learning architecture. AI accelerator supporting 300 top TOPS of 8-bit computation. Oh, my God. 67 fucking TFLOPS of 16-bit floating point. And it's aiming for a holiday 2024 release.
I would love them on the box to put 300 TOPS of 8-bit computation. Can you fucking imagine?
Oh, my God. Everyone's reading this and getting so amped up, and I guarantee you no one knows what any of that fucking means.
You're like, but it's got 16 teraflops, man. And you're like,
cool.
Explain that.
What does that do for me?
Explain why that's in an AI accelerator in a PlayStation.
Oh, love it. And then finally, the Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic remake is reportedly still in development at Saber Interactive, but it doesn't sound like it will be released in the next 12 months. Who thought that it should be released in the next 12 months?
I like that they're just like, well, we said it was going to be released in the last 12 months, so logically it might be released in the next 12 months. Oh, by the way, we canceled it, rebooted it, just had to break with our giant company, so we're gonna do it again.
Yeah.
Like, what? Hey, you ready for some questionable things that don't have full paragraphs?
Yeah, this one, there's 20 of them in case you want to break at some point.
The date for Summer Games Fest 2024 has been confirmed, with the gaming showcase taking place on Friday, June 7th at 5 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. And of course, the one, the only, Jeff Keighley is hosting it.
Of course he is. Gotta get that line.
Friday is weird. Normally he does Thursday.
Yeah.
And not at 5 o'clock. Normally at 8 o'clock.
Yeah, what's he up to?
What are you doing, Jeff? What are you doing? Why are you doing this at a Friday?
He's feeling himself. He's hitting that prime time Friday night slot.
No, he's not. Because it's Friday at 2 p.m. on the West Coast.
That's true.
5 p.m. us.
That is weird.
Like, we're leaving work early on Friday now to watch this.
What is he? I don't know. I guess
probably
we'll find out.
And then going and recording right after. That's the other weird part.
That's true. Maybe our podcast episode should be us commentating the Summer Games Fest.
It could be. I can't fucking believe this. There's just gonna be a lot of dead air that I'm just going like,
like, what is this?
What are we doing here? With no video is just that. Like, if you need, we'll count you down to 3, 2, 1, hit play, and then you're gonna hit play on both things, and you'll see it. You'll be synced up.
Oh, man.
If anything, it'll just be us watching it. Then we won't just write anything that week at all. It'll just be taking notes.
Yeah.
CCP Games, developer of EVE Online, has announced that its Carbon development platform is now open source. The platform consists of the Carbon game engine, which EVE Online uses, and components parts such as blockchain technology. It's not responsible for multi-intergalactic gang fights. Number three, Wolong Fallen Dynasty has passed 5 million players. Team Ninja and Tecmo's historical fantasy title set during the fall of the Han Dynasty launched on March 3rd, 2023. It's a lot of players.
That is a lot of players.
In only a year, past 5 million?
Mm-hmm.
Monopoly Go has reached $2 billion in consumer spending 10 months after its launch.
Dude, I read this shit sometimes, and I'm just like, how? Like, who the fuck's playing Monopoly Go and then spending money? $2 billion in less than a year.
I needed that top hat, man. And that monocle. Have you seen me with that mustache?
It's just crazy, dude. Shit's crazy.
Monster Hunter World tops 25 million sales after 6 years on the market. You think that's done $2 billion yet?
No.
There's your insanity.
Yeah.
Stellar Blade developer ShiftUp has filed to go public on the Korean Stock Exchange. And if you haven't seen anything from Stellar Blade, I suggest you take a look. That's all I'm going to leave it at. I'll show Matt after.
All right.
Warner Bros. Games will be officially launching Multiverses on May 28th. It will be released with a new PvE mode with additional fighters and more stages. It was a hit game when it first came out. We'll see how it goes the second time around.
What if that becomes their business model?
Just every now and then release a game, then take it off, then release it.
Yeah, but they do it for this one. So it's only available, like, you know, not all the time. So, like, release it for a little while and then pull it and work on it for a bit and then release it again.
I don't know. I've been wondering if there was a way you could do that where you could release a game. Like, if it was an online-only game, right? Could you release a game, let it live for 6 months, and then say, we're shutting this down for 6 months. It'll be active again in January. Like, you release it in January. It runs till the end of June. Then you turn it off.
Mm-hmm.
No one can play it. You work on it for 6 months, and then January 1st comes around, and the servers go back on with all the changes.
Like, I don't know. Would that, like, work? It's an interesting, like, I'm not immediately turned off by it, but it's just like, how do you monetize it in a way to where it doesn't seem like...
You still sell copies, like, you're still selling the base game,
mm-hmm.
and you'd have to come up with some Battle Pass-esque thing for returning people, where there's still, like, a free tier and a paid tier or something.
Yeah.
That you can complete over the course of 6 months, but, like, if you're only keeping it on for 6 months, that also lowers your operational time, too. Like,
yeah.
It would be. I'm just curious if it can work.
Yeah. No, it's definitely an interesting idea for someone to explore.
You get a little bit of FOMO, but mm-hmm. you also reward somebody that played each season with, like, a little thing, you know, cosmetically and whatever.
Yeah.
Could be interesting. Number eight, Nintendo has announced a sequel to the hit Mario animated film coming in on April 3rd, 2026.
Yay.
I think we knew this was happening for a while, but now it's official. PlayStation-backed Deviation Games has closed. The studio had been developing an original IP for Sony before it was canceled. Number 10, Keyword Studios, Active Fence, Take This, and Modulate have formed the Gaming Safety Coalition. The alliance intends to make online gaming safer and foster more mental well-being practices.
Good luck.
Coalition, alliance, there's just a lot of words in there that are...
Yeah.
In 2023, the Asia-Pacific region accounted for 64% of consumer spending on mobile games. China was the top spending country, accounting for 31% of the global mobile title revenue. Think about that.
Yeah.
If you actually had the raw number there, it would scare you.
Yes. There was more numbers, and I was like, no, it's too much. Like, that's too much scary knowledge.
I can't give that to people.
Yeah.
Number 12, PAL World creator Takuro Mizobi has said that his studio is in talks to release the game on more platforms. He also revealed that his studio is open to partnerships or acquisitions. Turtle Beach still exists, and they are purchasing controller and headset manufacturer PDP for $118 million.
There can only be one.
When's the last time that you, like, actively looked at Turtle Beach?
I will never actively look at Turtle Beach.
Right, but I mean, like, when... like it had to be what 15 years ago, right? When we were like, oh, gaming headset, and it was like you were kind of at the mercy of if you wanted a gaming headset, not like just headphones, so you weren't just looking at Sennheiser, but you were looking at what maybe a Sennheiser one if it had a microphone on it, Plantronics, Logitech, Corsair, probably, Razer,
probably Turtle when my
Astro,
probably when my PlayStation Gold headset broke. Is when I looked.
Yeah. And I think for me, it was when I had my 360.
Yeah.
But hey, they're still there doing things. So
yeah.
PS5 update 9 is being rolled out, adding DualSense controller sound enhancements, share screen interactions, and more. The upcoming Sea of Thieves PS5 version is currently the best-selling pre-order on the US and various European PlayStation stores. Helldivers 2 has reportedly sold way more than 5 million units. Former PlayStation Studios boss Sean Layden spitting facts during an interview. Quote, when your cost for a game exceeds $200 million, exclusivity is your Achilles heel. It reduces your addressable market, particularly when you're in the world of live service gaming or free to play. Another platform is just another way to open the funnel, getting more people in, end quote. Yeah, I basically agree with that.
Yeah. He that whole interview is actually interesting. Because like that is, you know, one little snippet out of context. Right. But he does talk about how to make exclusivity work. And like it's just he's just really good at, you know, like making thing breaking it down and making it like an obvious, like, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, I know I agree. Why'd you get walked out of the building again? Number 18, former Activision Blizzard CEO Bobby Kotick is reportedly interested in acquiring TikTok. That's TikTok.
It's like,
could that be like the best worst thing that happens?
I know. I'm like trying to figure out if I like that or dislike that. Like,
number 19, the Battlefield series has lost another high profile figure in the form of Craig Morrison, who has left his role as studio creative director at EA's DICE.
They're having a little bit of a brain drain there.
Yeah, they're kind of, well, I mean, they're going to run into a weird issue with Battlefield anyway. Number 20, ahead of the Epic Game Store launch in 2018, Epic boss Tim Sweeney called Valve's executives assholes in a heated email concerning platform fees. In an internal response to Sweeney's message, Valve chief operating officer Scott Lynch questioned, "You mad, bro?"
The series of events to that was so funny. Tim Sweeney emailed Gabe Newell and I can't remember who the other executive was, and he wrote like an email, and he like literally called them assholes in the email about their fees. And then I think Gabe or someone, they distributed it among, you know, internally.
Yeah.
And that was the CEO literally responded with him, "You mad, bro?"
Yeah. Like, bro, relax.
Oh, it's so good.
Anyway, it's we kind of talked, I guess, a little bit about it at the beginning, but hey, it's been 7 days. What you been up to?
Not a whole lot. I mean, I've been watching my animes, watching Masters of the Air, last episode this week, I believe. I'm going to start watching Shogun. Everyone keeps telling me to watch it, and yeah, I do want to watch it.
It's in my list of I need to watch it.
Yeah, and then playing no games, obviously, because I have a hard time finding the time, like Shogun's going to be hard for me to watch because the first couple episodes are long. So that'll be interesting. And then what else? I went to a hockey game this week. Did a lot of like weird random shit that I don't normally do, which means like my fucking people meter is like just full up. Yeah, hockey game. Swapped out the old, got rid of the BMW, got a truck.
Yeah, a fake truck driver.
A fake truck.
I mean, listen, it's a truck. There's a bet on it.
It's true.
It's all it takes.
It's a minivan that's swapped out the rear seats for a bed.
Yeah, actually, that is basically
it is
the Odyssey, essentially. Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
It's not built on the same chassis, is it?
It is.
Oh, all right.
If you take off, so. Fun fact about the Ridgeline, Honda Ridgeline. It has a composite bed. Those panels, all that paneling comes off with a torque bed. And if you remove the composite bed, you essentially will see the underpinnings of the Honda Odyssey.
So you just cut a Honda Odyssey in half.
That's quite literally what they did.
And then put it back on the back end of the truck.
Yeah.
So you just go to find an Odyssey, cut it off, and put it back in.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect. I got my whole vehicle back.
We played the card game, which we talked about earlier, which was a lot of fun. It was I suspect that's just because of the difference in our skill levels when it comes to card games. That's probably going to be my best game. So we'll see. But that's it. That's all I got.
I have a feeling that it could be one of those, like, it's your best game, sure.
Mm-hmm.
But I also think that playing it a few more times would then lead you into thinking it in a certain way.
Yeah.
Where then it now actually does kind of become a 50-50, where it's like, if I had been more aggressive, would I have beaten you? Maybe, but I don't know, because I had when we got to the end, mm-hmm. I was going to win on the next turn, I think, is the way that I had planned it in my head, of like, I get to this next turn, mm-hmm. I win. Not thinking
that I also
he's
was...
going to just attack me with everything.
Well, I was like playing, I was having that same thought, but the whole time I was like living in fear, because I knew that if you could have whittled me down really over a, like, if you would have attacked me every time for the last like three rounds, you would have whittled me down to the point of where I would have had to invested in my ground troops and I wouldn't have been able to actually attack you.
Yeah.
So I was like, the whole time I was like shaking in my boots.
Yeah.
And then like I was slowly
building up so much of a ground force.
Yeah.
To be like, okay, I need to build this up, because I after that first air unit I had, never drew another one.
Yep.
And I was like, shit, I had the easy way to just like kind of chip at you,
mm-hmm.
but I couldn't do anything else. And then I was like, okay, so I'm just going to build all this up and then I'm going to just send it. And then I made the mistake of holding on to like shield things when I could have whittled away on other things.
Yeah.
And...
yeah, I wasn't.
But man,
both had the same problem. Which we weren't aggressive enough in our ground campaigns. Like I didn't keep you at bay. I let you build up too much force to the point of where like I couldn't attack you and whittle it down without expending a lot of resources.
Yeah.
So then I just kind of ignored it, but then you kind of ignored it too, where I was like, all right, this is kind of working out in my favor.
Yeah, because now we're just into, I want to mass an army, except then neither one of us had sentinels, and it was like, well, we could just shoot each other's bases the entire time.
Yeah.
We don't even have to fight the ground troops against each other.
Yeah. So it definitely was a weird, like, a combination of being unfamiliar with the game. And then I just got good draws, I think. I just got really good draws. Because those, like, buff cards that I got, the few cards I got that were, like, you know, draw cards.
I would say that in multiple times. I think you had a Moff Tarkin. You had the You Are My Father card.
Mm-hmm.
And so essentially that gave you five cards in back into your hand, where, like, there was a while there where I was sitting with three. And
I think,
just no, having no way to draw more,
mm-hmm.
to give myself more options.
I think it ultimately whittles down to, like, it all whittles down to, like, you want as many resources as you can. So, like, drawing the most cards as you can will give you, like, the best chance at winning.
Yeah, the more cards you can draw, the better off that you are going to be. But that also, I wonder if that ends up putting it into a spot where it's like, okay, can you build the deck where you just draw?
Yeah, you're just constantly cycling through cards.
Yeah,
so that way it does get weird, because there was a thing at the end basically where if you run out of cards in your deck, you basically just get stuck with the cards you have.
Right. Yeah. So you'd just be left with you essentially, if you drew enough, I guess you'd be left with your deck in your hand.
Yeah. But it's weird because you can't. It sounded weird. It sounded like basically like if you ended up with no more cards left, you also couldn't necessarily get rid of cards either. It was like this weird, I don't know, the way they worded it. We'll have to look at that at some point. But anyways.
I also wonder, there's no way to really track this because it's all just coming. The game's just coming out.
Mm.
like the only reason I bought what I did is because pre-release was just happening mm-hmm. when I bought this. I essentially pre-ordered this duo deck.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious what amount of resources is average for both players to have when the game ends.
I guess it's close to where we were.
That's my guess, but I'm wondering if there's a way to have more, or if somebody gets so aggressive they can somehow finish with five.
Like just five resources?
Yeah. Like they just end up with like the right things.
Maybe, but like there was several times where I didn't put resources down and I could have.
There are a couple times I didn't too.
And there's cards that are like worth 9 power or whatever. So
yeah. So I mean, yeah, I'm just curious like what the number would be. Like if you went and watched a tournament of this.
Yeah. Like what the min max is that,
yeah,
you know, you maintain like 5 resources at all times and that's like the ideal.
Like somebody has a deck built with no higher card cost in it than 5.
Yeah. Yeah. It'll be interesting to see how it develops. What have you been up to other than
everything we just talked about?
All right.
Playing a lot of Like a Dragon. MLB The Show 24 is in pre-release time, so I've been playing that.
Okay.
It's more the show.
I mean,
that's not pretend like it's not. They did add like, you know, nice storyline things and females and whatever else into the game, so it's like, you know, good.
Yeah.
But nothing from like a gameplay side I think really changed. Then playing Like a Dragon, and I feel like I'm over halfway. I'm like level 43-ish.
Mm-hmm. I would assume so, because what did we say the level cap was?
Like 75. I think the level cap is higher, but I think the game was ending around like 70-something.
Okay.
So I feel like I'm over halfway, but I also just... There's that part of me where it's like you're playing a book, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, I'm this far, but I'm starting to get to that point where I'm like, how many more twists and turns can they really try to throw at me before this becomes like, holy shit, end this already?
Mm-hmm.
Like where I eventually like reached with Mirage and stuff, where I'm like,
yeah,
I need to just get to the end. And I'm not there yet. I don't feel that pressure. Mm-hmm. But it's like, I got to be getting there somewhere.
Does the story missions have set levels, or does it kind of just follow your...
There are times that it will check you, essentially.
Okay.
And it before you go into it, it'll be like recommended level 41 or recommended level this with this type of gear. Like it'll say, or with this rank of gear. So like recommend level 35 and 4-star gear.
Mm-hmm.
And so they'll sometimes give you like those recommendations at least to kind of give you a warning of where you should be. And there have been a few times where I've hit those and I've left and gone and done other things to gain power and then come back. So there's things like that, but it's all still making progress. WoW is kind of on hiatus right now for me.
The calm before the storm.
Not even really. I think it's going to be the calm before the storm, but the storm is like months away. The storm for me is the fall.
Yeah, it's the War Within, right?
Yeah. New expansion. It'll be a nuts showcase. Probably do something similar to what I did for Dragonflight or more, maybe. Who knows? I don't 100% know of just going hard, but do I want to go harder? I don't know. Play it by ear as it comes out. We learn more and whatever. I think that's really it.
Yeah,
worked out today.
Nice,
light
little self improvement over here.
But mainly just to like
this guy.
I got to get back into it, so I can't go full weight. I can't, you know. It's all the, hey, you should like stretch and like feel this out again. Get the muscles remembering what they're supposed to do. Instead of doing 10 bench presses and then feeling like you want to die.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that type of stuff. That's why like the weights are going back outside, because now it's starting to warm up and stuff like that. So that's in the list. Otherwise, life things. Cleaning up the house, cleaning whatever. I rebuilt that PC last night.
Oh.
That Raspberry Pi is basically never going to get used because I don't know what to use it for now that I have that PC existing.
Mm-hmm.
Re-cleaned up this room, redid the desk, reorganized that. Blah, 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 blah. It's just like all typical, like when I kind of get to that moment where I'm like, all right, that's it. I'm fixing this room. And I just start going through things and it's like, I don't know, ADHD?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. It's like that spring cleaning kind of feeling where you just want to like...
A little bit, but just like that. I know certain things I've either put off or whatever. Like once it warms up a little bit more is probably when I'll redo the entire dining room.
Yeah,
that's going to be a fucking whole like 3 weekends though, and I don't really want to. That might be a Memorial Day angle.
Mm-hmm.
Not 100% sure, just because then I have 3 days, you know.
Yeah.
Or do it all before Memorial Day and use the 3 days to do something else. I don't know. I have no idea.
Well, but, I feel like you could probably chip. You could, since you don't use that room. Like,
no, I can definitely chip away at it before then. It's just what thing do I want to chip away at? Like, what thing in there do I want to chip away at? Because I have to make runs to like Lowe's or Home Depot or something, yeah. and figure everything out.
You can borrow the truck, use it for truck things.
The funny thing is, all the stuff I need to pick up, I can fit
in
my car.
I know, small stuff.
Like the biggest thing I would have to pick up is trim. Guess what I can fit in my car? Trim.
Trim. Yeah.
The only other thing I've debated doing is I've debated trying to build built-ins.
Okay. Yeah.
And putting them in where that bookshelf is now,
mm-hmm.
and building them in there. I just don't know how to do it. Like I that's
yeah. I
know how to do it,
mm-hmm.
but I don't know how to do it.
Yeah. You have an idea of how to do it, but you don't necessarily know how to do it well.
Right. Cause I think a bunch of people would use like a router,
mm-hmm.
and then just slide the shelves in.
Yep.
I don't have a router. You have a router?
We have a router and a router table. Yeah.
Well, yeah. Hey, listen, throw them in the back of the truck. You can come up and we just do this all one day. Yeah. Probably need to get a brad nailer.
I think we have one of those too. We have a nailer. I'm not sure what type it is.
I guess it doesn't really matter.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a matter of if I have a nailer, that makes it much faster for one, doing the shelves,
yeah,
and two, doing all the trim around the floor.
Mm-hmm.
But by the time I'm doing both of those, I want to have the holes patched, which I can do at some other point.
Yep.
I need to patch the holes and I need to paint the entire room.
Mm-hmm.
Those two things are the biggest before I do any of the wood stuff.
Yeah.
So
we have the paint sprayer too, but I don't know, that size room, it might be more hassle to use the sprayer than it would be to just roll it.
That size room, I would just roll it. If I was going to borrow the paint sprayer for anything, you got a pressure washer?
That we don't have, but we do need to get one.
I say, if you want to just throw everything in the back of the truck and just drive up here.
We had a pressure washer, but it broke, so, and it was an electric one, so like.
Because I need to do the deck.
Yeah.
And that's where I would spray that.
Yeah, pressure wash it and then spray paint it.
Get one of those like deck paints and just do it that way.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah, I think that's it.
Yeah, that's it. I don't.
Before we start getting too far into house chores.
I was gonna say they probably didn't need to hear our whole life plan for.
Yeah,
you got it.
For randomly deciding to do my housework. All right, we'll see you guys in 7 days. Goodbye. Toodaloo.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market. it.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
ACAST powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Welcome back to Two Judgy Girls. I'm Mary from the Bay.
And I'm Courtney from LA. TJG is the podcast where we spill all the tea on your favorite reality TV shows, celebrity gossip, and everything in between. We're here to bring you our unfiltered opinions, hilarious commentary, and plenty of laughs along the way.
We're two SDSU Delta Gamma sisters with a microphone and a whole lot of opinions. Each week, we dive headfirst into the wild world of reality television, from Bravo to all the trash TV you could want. We break down the drama, dissect the latest scandals, and share our thoughts on everything from the jaw-dropping moments to the embarrassing antics.
But that's not all. We're not here to just gossip. We're here to connect with you, the jurors, and share our love of all things pop culture. Whether we're dishing on the latest celebrity breakups, discussing our favorite guilty pleasure movies, or sharing embarrassing stories from our own lives, we promise to keep it real, keep it fun, and keep you coming back for more.
Come judge with us.
ACAST helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. ACAST.com.